Good evening, how are we all doing? Okay, a bit warm. It's even warmer up here, I tell you. Okay, oh, it's on, brilliant, okay. So as Karen said, we're carrying on in the new series on Called and Encouraged. And I'm following on from Emma, who spoke in the first one last week. I listened online because we were away. It was great, and I thought, how am I going to follow that? I'm going to give it a go. But she won't admit it, but she was absolutely excellent. And we're looking at how we can encourage one another, especially tonight. I want to talk about what God has called us to do. And we're looking at the friendship of Jonathan and David. And I've titled this, Do Not Despair, Finding Strength in God. Switch it on is always a good idea. Okay, so these two handsome chaps here. The most handsome one is on the left. That's me and my brother Nick with me wearing Leeds United football tops on a beach somewhere in Wales. Both got a great taste in football teams, obviously. When we were growing up, we used to hate each other. We used to really not get on at all. We used to fight. We used to share a bedroom, which wasn't a good start. So we used to fight and bicker. He was the messy one, although he blames me and says I was the messy one and tells stories about clothes under the bed and all kinds of stuff. Obviously, I had a better dress sense and taste in music, but he was just the annoying younger brother. Fortunately, it's all changed now, and we actually are the best of friends. It got better, I guess, when I left home to go to university. That started it. But we actually have become the best of friends by God's grace, really. We developed a really good relationship. Although we do rib each other from time to time. And in fact, each year we have a competition to see who can send each other the worst birthday card for brother. I'm running out of them, so this year, mine's quite a boring one this year. So if you know anywhere that sells really bad birthday cards for brothers, I would really like, nasty ones that really kind of irritate and criticize your brother, I really would like to know. So tonight we're looking at Jonathan and David. Now, Jonathan and David aren't brothers, but they had a relationship, a friendship that was even stronger than brothers in some way. In fact, they did become brothers-in-law because David goes on to marry Jonathan's sister, Michal. Now, Joseph was older by around 10 years. He was 10 years older than David. So it's a bit of an unexpected friendship, really. The king's son and the shepherd boy. Very different backgrounds, but they develop a covenant relationship. They make a covenant with one another. And it says in 1 Samuel 18, verse 1, it says that Jonathan loved David as himself. And in 1 Samuel 20, 42, it says they had a sworn friendship. They made a strong bond, a covenant with each other, to love each other. Jonathan was the king's son. He was a prince who could be king one day. He grew up in the palace, had quite a privileged background, trained in the art of war. He was destined to inherit the throne of Israel, being the son of King Saul. And he was a big warrior too. It wasn't David who was just the warrior. Jonathan was a warrior. David was a shepherd boy from the little town of Bethlehem. He was younger than Jonathan, by about 10 years, like I say. He was also a musician and songwriter. A bit of a giant killer. He kills Goliath with a stone and a sling. I reckon that was around the age of 15. And Emma, you were sharing last week that you started leading worship when you were 15. So it's kind of around the same kind of time. You're in good company there, although David ended up killing a giant and chopping his head off. And that's not quite the same as leading worship, but not quite the same. Close. David is said to be a man after God's own heart. It says in 1 Samuel 13. Also, Paul says the same. In Acts 13. The trouble is, David was anointed to be king by Samuel, the prophet Samuel, at around, they reckon, about the age of 10 to 12. And it's a bit tricky because Saul is the king, but Saul has displeased God, and so God has chosen David instead. So David, the young boy, comes along, he kills Goliath with a stone and a sling. And then he goes to Saul's palace to play the lyre and soothe him when Saul is possessed by an evil spirit. Saul likes David, and he brings him in. He becomes his armor bearer, and he becomes a very successful warrior. He becomes very successful indeed. If you look at 1 Samuel 18, verse 5, this is where we get into the scripture now. Whatever mission Saul sent him on, David was so successful that Saul gave him a high rank in the army. This pleased all the troops and Saul's officers as well. And when the men were returning home after David had killed the Philistine, the women came out from all the towns of Israel to meet King Saul with singing and with dancing, with joyful songs and timbrels and lyres. As they danced, they sang, "Saul has slain his thousands, and David his tens of thousands." So David's successful, and he's very loyal to Saul. All the way through the story, he's very loyal to Saul, but Saul becomes jealous of David. So if the powerful king of the country you're living in is jealous of you and hopping mad, what do you do? Well, you run. You make yourself scarce. And that's what David did. He ran from the King Saul. He was scared for his life. And throughout the next several chapters of 1 Samuel, the stories of David escaping from Saul. Some of the Psalms were actually written while David was running from Saul. If you look at Psalm 59, verse 1 to 5, David writes, "Deliver me from my enemies, O God. Be my fortress against those who are attacking me. Deliver me from evildoers and save me from those who are after my blood. See how they lie in wait for me. Fierce men conspire against me for no offense or sin of mine, Lord. I have done no wrong, yet they are ready to attack me. Arise to help me. Look on my plight." Here David is asking God for help, and he said, "I've done nothing wrong." And I don't know whether you, but sometimes we can find ourselves in situations we've done absolutely nothing wrong, and yet things seem to go against us. We have enemies all around us, whether it be sickness, whether it be some kind of accident, whether it's loss of job, loss of loved ones. Things can sometimes seem to conspire against us for no reason that we can understand. We move on to Psalm 57. "Have mercy on me, O my God." This is David speaking. "Have mercy on me. Have mercy, for in you I take refuge. I will take refuge in the shadow of your wings until the disaster has passed. I cry out to God Most High, to God who vindicates me. He sends from heaven and saves me, rebuking those who hotly pursue me. God sends forth his love and faithfulness." And it carries on, verse 4 to 5. It says, "I am in the midst of lions. I am forced to dwell among ravenous beasts, men whose teeth are spears and arrows, whose tongues are sharp swords. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth." Even in the midst of his troubles, he said, "I'm pursued by lions, by ravenous beasts." And yet even so, he says, "God, be exalted above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth." Sometimes we can be stuck in our issues and our problems, and I'm guilty of the same thing. But do we still praise God? Because God is still in control. God is still over all the earth. Do we praise him in the midst of our troubles? Do we fight on our knees like that song we were singing before? It's a challenge to us, isn't it? It's a challenge to us. For several chapters in 1 Samuel, it's a cat and mouse game. David is running to hide from Saul. Saul's after him. And then in 1 Samuel 23, David learns that Saul is really after him this time. He really is going to get him, and he wants to kill him. This is 1 Samuel 23, verse 14. "So David stayed in the wilderness strongholds and in the hills of the desert of Ziph. Day after day, Saul searched for him, but God did not give David into his hands. And while David was at Horesh in the desert of Ziph, he learned that Saul had come out to take his life." David's probably very afraid at this point. Saul's got the army of Israel behind him, seeking him out. He's come to take his life. And we can sometimes be in that situation where we think things are all against us. Our enemies are against us. Nothing's going right. And I can admit I've had those moments quite recently, as Ali will tell you. Do you know what we need to do sometimes? We need to remember what God has done. We need to look back, remember what God has done. Right early on in 1 Samuel 17, before David even killed Goliath with his stone and his sling, Saul, he came to Saul to say, I'm going to take on this Philistine. And Saul said, I doubt that you can do it. And this is what David said in 1 Samuel 17, verse 37. David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine. So David couldn't, when he's hiding from Saul, Saul's pursuing him, and David forgets what he's already said earlier on, before he killed Goliath. We often forget what God has done for us in the past. We need to, and I need to, remember what he has done, what he's able to do in us and through us. Because even David, the mighty King David, the man after God's own heart, the warrior king, he forgot what God had done for him. The challenge to us, can we remember what God has done for us? So carrying on back to 1 Samuel, sorry, I'm going back to 1 Samuel 23 in the next verses, 16 to 18. Saul is searching for David, he wants to kill him. And it says in 1 Samuel 23, verse 16, Saul's son Jonathan went to David at Horesh and helped him find strength in God. Don't be afraid, he said. My father Saul will not lay a hand on you. You will be king over Israel, and I will be second to you. Even my father Saul knows this. The two of them made a covenant before the Lord. Then Jonathan went home, but David remained at Horesh. Now in the Message version, instead of saying, don't be afraid, it says, don't despair. So Jonathan, I don't know how he does it, Saul couldn't find David. Jonathan somehow managed to find him. God obviously points him in the right direction. And Jonathan finds David and says here, he helps him to find strength in God. When he's feeling afraid, when he's feeling downcast, like everything's against him, Jonathan encourages him and says, find strength in God. And he reminds him of the promise of Samuel. You will be king over Israel. You will be king over Israel. Jonathan, sadly, never becomes second in command to David. But it doesn't matter. He's still there rooting for David and reminding him. He's reminding him of what God has promised to him. We sometimes have times when it feels like everything's against us, don't we? When we need to find strength from somewhere else, whether it's inside us or from God, when we have absolutely nothing left. And I'm reminded of a challenge that Jane gave to us a few weeks ago. Do I really trust him? Do I really trust him? It's times when you're going through difficult times when that really comes to bear. Do I really trust him in the hard times as well as the good? So Jonathan comes there and he encourages him like a really good friend. Don't be afraid. Don't despair. And that's what God would want us to be like. That's what we are called to be. We're called to be encouragers of each other, to say, come on. Come alongside someone who you see is struggling, saying, don't despair. Come on. Carry on. You can do it. God is your strength. Even though it looks bleak, come on, still believe. God's call on our lives is not dependent on our circumstances. God's call on our lives is not dependent on what's going wrong in our lives. It's dependent on what he has promised to us. In 2 Corinthians 12, Paul says this. He says, when I am weak, then I am strong. It seems a weird thing. The world can't understand this, that when we are weak, then we are strong. When we are weak, we are more reliant on God to come in and help us with the things that we can't do in our own strength. In John 15, verse 13, Jesus said this, "Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends." Jesus was telling his disciples, there's no greater love than someone willing to die for a friend. Now, I doubt if that's ever going to happen to you or me, that we're going to be called to lay down our lives physically. But we are sometimes called to put our friends' needs before our own. And it's a great thing to do that God is encouraging us to do. So it was with Jonathan, the king's son. He was destined for the throne. He could have had it all. But instead, he exalts David because he sees God's call on David's life. And he exalts him rather than himself. I love this quote. It's a quote by Isaac Newton. If I have seen further than others, it is by standing upon the shoulders of giants. Now, some of you might know who Isaac Newton is. He's a famous physicist. He discovered the law of gravity when he saw an apple fall. He also discovered the laws of motion. And for those of you who love maths, he invented calculus. He's a famous guy. But this is a quote from him. If I have seen further than others, it is by standing upon the shoulders of giants. And what he was saying was, he discovered and he got where he was because other people encouraged him, pointed him the way forward, gave him the ideas or just came alongside him and chivered him along. Says, yeah, cause there's a whole host of people who went before him with knowledge and discoveries that they'd got, and they encouraged him to move forward. That's what God is calling us to do. He's calling us to encourage one another to move forward, to stretch ourselves, to go further than we've gone. And I'm not retired or getting towards the end of my life yet, but I'm not a young whippersnapper anymore. So to you young people, God, I want to encourage you that God wants the best for you. He's got a call on your lives that you can't imagine or expect. God has got a call on your lives. He's going to take you further than some of us of the older generation. He's got more things for you planned than we can ever believe or imagine. We need to stand on the shoulder of giants and cheer and spur each other on. Can I ask the band to come back? Is that okay? So grab a drink while I do that. This is a picture of a hill. I think it's called Sauerhaus in Troutbeck in the Lake District. It's a picture of a hill with my two sons, Matt and Jack, walking up it. They're way ahead of me. I'm a bit of a slow walker now. I blame my eyesight that I can't see very well and I have to use the stick. It's also my age and I'm not as not as fit as 20-year-olds. So this is a picture of them going up this hill, and I'm thinking, slow down, I want to catch you up, I can't keep up with you. But then God challenges me and says, look, yeah, they're striding on, they're reaching forward. Encourage them to do that. Let's encourage each other to strive forward, to reach the peaks, to go forward. And in doing so, I think, yeah, I'm going to try and follow them too. I'm going to find the strength from somewhere. I'm going to do that. I can do that too. And I'm going to finish with a verse from Habakkuk 3:19. It says, "The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to tread on the heights. The sovereign Lord is my strength." Now, I love going up hills and mountains, even when it's really hard, and it was hard going up some of those hills last weekend. I especially like it when you come down, there's a nice pub beer garden at the bottom, but it's the going up, it's the achievement of going up. And sometimes we think we can't reach things, we can't do things, we'll never get there, we're never going to reach those peaks. But here God's reminding us that He's our strength. He can make our feet like the feet of a deer, even when we don't feel like able to reach those heights. He will help us to walk up to those peaks and place our feet on those heights. Sometimes we need help to get there. We need to help each other. But that's what we're called to do, to encourage each other to reach for those heights that God has called us to. And finally, I just want to reiterate one thing. God's call on our lives doesn't matter on our circumstances. And I've said that before, but I feel like God really wants to remind some of us tonight that God's call on our lives and what he's called us to do doesn't change because of our circumstances. Even if your enemies are after you, even if your enemies are pursuing you, want to kill you, God will say, don't doubt what he said to you. Remember what he's done and what he can do, and to reach forward, to stand on the shoulders of giants, to don't despair, like David said, like Jonathan said to David, don't despair, find strength in God. Oh, amen. Let's pray. Kath, can you just... let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you are our strength. That we may be surrounded by our enemies. We may be hard-pressed on every side. But Lord, you are our God, you are our rock, and you are with us. For those of us tonight who feel like we're going through difficulties and the enemy is all around us, Lord, I pray you encourage us tonight. I pray you remind us of what you've done in our lives. Remind us of how big you are and what you're capable of. You would challenge us to look forward and not back. You would challenge us to come alongside others who are struggling and encourage them to go forward. Lord, that we would not despair. Let's not despair. Let's find strength in you alone. Because without you, we are absolutely nothing. And sometimes we need to come to the end of ourselves before we can find you. And Lord, that's okay sometimes. Lord, that's okay sometimes. So Lord, for those of us tonight who feel like that, Lord, will you come and meet? Holy Spirit, will you come and touch people's lives tonight? Will you come and encourage us? Will you come and challenge us? Will you come and move? Lord, we are grateful for you and what you've done for us. Jesus, we are grateful for our relationship with you, that you come alongside us when we're feeling like things aren't going our way. Even when they're not, you're still there, right beside us. And Lord, tonight we acknowledge that and we thank you for the cross. We thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. And Lord, we come before you tonight. We've come before the cross and say, haven't got very much to give. But Lord, you've got everything. Lord, we just come before you and we love you and we say thank you.